Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello again, welcome to another edition of Packaged. Thanks for your company. When I mention iconic brands such as Strongbow, VB, Stella Artois, Corona, just to name a few, I'm essentially talking about a range of well-known beverages which fall under the Carlton United Brewery mega brand. The CUB story goes back in time, all the way to the 1850s when the company first brewed Victoria Bitter, and even earlier to the Cascade Brewery, which was established in 1824 and commenced brewing in Tasmania in 1832. The company has more than 1,700 people at six Australian breweries and various offices around Australia. And in breaking news, I'm excited to say that today, CUB is now a gold partner with the Liquor Stores Association of WA. Joining me in the studio and to tell us more is Danny Savage, CUB's WA General Manager of Sales. Danny, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, mate. Thanks for having us.
Now, the CUB has a colourful story, as I mentioned, and quite the pioneer when it comes to breweries. More recently, CUB became part of the Asahi family beverages. What does this mean for the CUB business?
Yeah, it's an exciting time. We've been through quite a bit of change, as you mentioned in the intro there. And so with Asahi, probably three things come to mind. We're really positive about the future of our business in that we can be far more longer term planned under the Asahi broader business. You know, they've acquired CUB not for the short term, but for the long term. So it may seem trivial, but what it might mean for your members is that we can plan far further out. You know, rather than going week to week or month to month, you know, we can start to think 3 to 5 years out in terms of the NPD we can bring to market and the category expertise we can bring across Total Liquor with that perspective as well. So the first one is definitely planning. The other one is, you know, it's no surprise that over the last 3 years under ABI, it's a very cost-driven model. So that's where a lot of the initiatives were born, with a focus on cost. Whereas with Asahi, you quickly realise it's a sustainable growth model. So the ability to invest back into brands, back into growth, back into teams is going to be huge for us moving forward.
And a greater global presence perhaps?
Not necessarily.
That comes with Asahi?
Yeah, versus with ABI, it's a more global-driven model, whereas Asahi, it's got global exposure, but they allow the business units in each region to really drive their own strategy and what's relevant, not just for Australia-wide, but as we all know, WA has its own trends and own nuances, mm-hmm. So far more open to locally-specific initiatives that can really drive the category, which is great.
What's been the response by your colleagues and within the company generally? It's a feeling of a greater sense of security, I take it.
There's a consistent quote that comes from a lot of the team out in the trade, and that is, wow, we're back. You know, we're a brewery again, operating like a brewery again, investing in our brands. So that's going to be amazing as we take it forward. I think the one watch out, which we're working through at the moment, because the integration is moving at pace, is that there's this paradox of choice or complexity. So now under the Asahi banner, we have a lot of brands. So there's the risk, like we've seen in the past, where you try to spread your focus too thinly, and then we don't end up adding the value that we could. So the way that we've addressed that with the integration is almost to organise into two separate teams. There's a premium beverages team that look after a portfolio of essentially non-beer products, mm. or our non-beer portfolio. And then there's the CUB beer team that can just specialise back into beer. And then that way, when we show up with your members and into outlets, we can really offer focus and expertise in those relevant categories.
2020, Danny, it's been an interesting year. Has it been business as usual on the back of COVID, or what are some of the challenges that you've faced? Because as you say, you've now part of this wider Asahi family, coupled with 2020 and all the spanners it's thrown. So what's it been like this year so far?
Business as usual. What is usual, Peter? What is usual in 2020? I think BAU might be something we reminisce about with our kids around what that actually meant. If usual meant highly disruptive, then it's been business as usual. It's been a crazy year, as we all know. To take you on, the CUB perspective of things over the last, call it, eight to 9 months, it was a shock. Obviously, when, you know, we heard across the states as we went into lockdown, the impact to our customers, but also how we needed to adjust as a business as well. So we were impacted a number of ways. Firstly, the mammoth effort in on-premise to collect, you know, kegs and credit full kegs to our customers and help decommission beer systems and so forth was a mammoth effort that took quite a long time. Secondly, then we went into supporting, obviously, our off-premise customers and a lot of your members around navigating through the legislative change and trends. You know, what would have been something that evolved from a consumer point of view over 3 to 5 years as a trend was happening every 3 weeks. Like, well, you have a look at the changes in categories and what your members had to do to work out what they needed to buy to keep up with demand was astonishing.
Lockdown in Melbourne, if we go one step further, the second wave, how brutal for business was it?
Melbourne is the heart and soul of our business. It's where the history has come from. It's where our head office is. It's where our major brewery is. So the impact is felt across our business, because every time you're on a 1,000th Zoom meeting that you're on, you can read it in their faces, the poor Melburnians that were going through it all. Also, the burden that you kind of see from our customers as well, especially the on-premise customers, we really worry about their mental health and well-being, because, you know, what they do every day, we all know that we're a passionate bloody industry. So for that to have that taken away from them was really challenging. So we felt that as well. And then I think the other thing that really affected us was collaboration, I'd say. With if you think about majority of our staff in head office then working from home, and not having that interaction on a day-to-day basis and only proactively having to communicate, whether one-on-one or the email traffic, it did certainly affect collaboration, not in a great way. But I think now there's a lot to look forward to. Melburnians are now going through what we went through, you know, a couple of months ago of coming out. The Australian spirit has been amazing. Mm. You know, we forecasted the on-premise to be nowhere near what it is. So to see Australians get back out there and socialise, that Melburnians and our colleagues and customers will be able to look forward to that and make up for lost time over the next couple of months.
Well, talking about the Aussie spirit, one of your brands, VB, has teamed up with swimwear giant Budgie Smugglers just ahead of summer. What's the thinking behind that? Because I remember about 15 years or so ago, VB brought out the Boonie doll and the Shane Warne doll, and they'd make certain noises and catch cries from the games, and kind of really got me going in summer in terms of you know, getting that quenching beer. The merchandise opportunity, what sparked that?
It's pretty cool to be able to work with these types of initiatives as we go forward. It keeps us all talking about the industry. But with an iconic brand like VB, it's more than just a beer. It represents so much about the Australian spirit, even. And if I think about the Boonie dolls and the Shane Warne dolls, were one aspect a long time ago. But in essence, a little bit of that thinking has come back. Mm. I think it's partly caused by, in reality, classic beer has been declining. So we haven't had the big marketing budgets and big ads that we've needed to. But I think it hasn't necessarily resonated either, the big ads and the big media kind of spend. So instead, the marketing team have been quite clever with their collaborations, but leveraging that iconic nature of such an amazing brand. So the swimwear is just another notch in the belt, if you like, because we've recently launched the VB Cologne. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
No.
It was the VB Cologne launched.
Does it smell like beer?
Warehouse. No. It's a lot more pleasant than that. And then there was also the VB tea bags during the Ashes series a couple of years back as well.
Right, I vaguely remember that, yes.
Yeah. So to take the brand out of its category but leverage its iconic nature and connect with consumers in other areas has been quite fun, and we've had some really good feedback.
Clever marketing. Now, well. And where can you get those Budgie Smugglers, that swimwear line? From, is it, can you walk into any liquor store, or do you need to order online from your website?
No, I think there'll be more details to come, but it'll be essentially tied into a consumer promotion that will roll out across the country.
Excellent. That's what I'd like to hear. Now, what's coming up in the next 12 months as far as CUB is concerned? Obviously, Budgie Smugglers and swimwear aside, any new flavours, drinks, brands that's on the horizon that you can tell us about today?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So I guess the first thing is that, you know, like I was saying before, we were predicting a value trend. I think that is still coming. It's just been delayed. So to be able to offer shoppers a bit more accessibility through price, especially post the impact that shoppers would have seen CDS, is important. So Foster's, we're bringing back an icon. Foster's 30 can blocks in a kind of value format will be something that we're focusing on and testing the waters with. And then outside of that, you know, it really takes a good 3 to 5 years to launch NPD. So we've gone back to kind of, rather than just launch and then move on to the next one, we've gone back to supporting a bit of our new products over the long term. So you'll see a bit more support for the products we've launched over the last 12 months, including Brookvale Union Seltzer and innovating as the seltzer category develops and grows. In addition to our craft portfolio. So with Pirate Life South Coast, it's been a huge success already, and Four Pines Freshie and Pacific Ale, the mid-strength variety there within the craft offering. So that's kind of where we'll largely focus in embedding and supporting our NPD that's already in market.
And you brought a four-pack of Pirate Life Brewing today in the studio. For anyone who hasn't tasted it or tried it yet, what can you tell us about it?
Pirate Life historically have been big, bold beers, big IBUs, you know, and quite challenging to drink unless, you know, you've got a really big beard or if you love craft beer. The South Coast is far more accessible in terms of its liquid profile. It is pale in colour. It's lower IBUs and very refreshing. So a bit more like an XBA kind of style. So it has opened up the brand significantly to people who love the brand but haven't necessarily liked the beers in the past. So it's certainly showing in the numbers that punters out there are enjoying it both in off-premise and on-premise.
Excellent. Now let's talk about you and your role, Danny. You're a Sydneyite, Western Sydneyite originally. You've come to Perth via Melbourne after a few years. You're here with your young family now after a couple of years. How have you found the sea change here in Western Australia? I guess given what 2020 has brought on, you'd be thanking your lucky stars.
Yeah, your intel serves you well. I am from Western Sydney, which is probably why my affinity for VB is so strong, the VB heartland. I'm pleased to say that I've been well adopted into the WA lifestyle, and don't tell my boss, but I don't see myself leaving anytime soon. It's a bloody great state, and we can, you know, with three kids now, one born in Sydney, one born in Melbourne, and the last one recently born in Perth in King Eddie's, we can kind of forecast their lives a bit, and it makes the decision pretty simple around where we kind of want to settle. So WA's got an amazing lifestyle, which we're not taking for granted, and perfect timing for us as well, just selfishly, to be over here during this time. Couldn't imagine being at home, working from home with three kids isolated in Melbourne for those past 7 months. So being blessed.
Extremely hard. But in terms of your role, WA General Manager of Sales, does 2020 and COVID-19 add more pressure into 2021? And on your role, are there any challenges there now that come into play?
Yeah, well, with my role, it's very diverse. So I've got never take anything for granted either. So I've got the privilege to be able to represent my team in trade, which is a large part of my role. But being over West, you play a bit more of a diverse role as well. So obviously engaging the likes of amazing associations such as yourselves and the HA, as well as the on-premise side of the business, and representing all the banner groups as well. So I can go from a conversation with, you know, the broader team to dropping off some tap decals or building displays to interviews like this. So it's a very diverse role. And then secondly, if I think about COVID and what we need to do next year, there's some big, you know, big numbers that we all need to work out, not necessarily cycle, but be aware of. So I think our consistent methodology of being trying to keep one eye on the future, see where the trends are moving, and then offer your members some solutions into those places, whether it's through price or pack or promotional program, to leverage those trends as much as we can.
And lastly, the association with the LSA, you are now a corporate partner. How critical is that for suppliers and partners such as yourselves?
Yeah, it's very critical. You know, I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say it's been too long. We'd been left out of, or not left out, we left ourselves out of the association for a little bit, which was, won't go into the reasons why, but it was caught up with a broader business direction. But proud to be able to make some decisions that's right for us in this state, which, and being a part of the LSA in WA that does so much for its members, but also the association and representation of the industry, and being such a big player in the market. We're proud to be a part of it moving forward.
And we're very happy to have you on board. So we hope to foster that relationship and long may it continue. Danny Savage from CUB/Asahi. I better put the slash in there, right? Thank you for popping in. Thank you for your time. Thanks for giving us some extra insight about what your business does. I think everyone listening today has walked away with something of value and something that they've learned today. So thanks very much for popping in.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks very much.